The theme of friendship has popped up everywhere I look over the last couple of weeks. A Woman's Hour interview highlighting the absence of close friendships for men. An author discussing her new book about a friendship breakup. A Sunday magazine article about lifetime friends. A TV phone-in about falling out with a friend. A Christian Press article about mentoring and intergenerational friendships. And an Instagram post from Dr. Julie Smith, clinical psychologist, offering four ways to tell if a friendship is coming to an end. Most advice suggests that if you can no longer be yourself around a friend, you feel the need to act a certain way, revert to how you once were, feel judged, feel depleted by the time you spend with them, or just don't feel drawn to each other, you should move on. This all seems sensible advice and vital if you're in an abusive, coercive or damaging relationship. Proverbs 22:24-25 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." However, as with much of the self-help advice I take in from different sources, in this area of navigating friendships, I've been getting a niggling sense that self-help seems a bit too comfortable. If we comply with what seems to be a culture of entitled friendship, in it for what we can get, yes, we may have a neater and more stable life experience, but is this the life Jesus calls us to live? Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfil the law of Christ." Yes, some people drain me. Some people make me feel awkward or shy or edgy. Surely we are never fully ourselves with more than one or two of our closest friends. So does this mean we should only have one or two friends? And what about when we haven't seen someone for a while and our internal monologue tells us something about the person or our friendship that isn't actually based on truth? What does Jesus teach? Are our friends there to serve us or are we there to serve our friends? And who should we be spending time with anyway? 1 Peter 4:10, 8-10 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Nobody blue. There are lots of reasons why we need to put the other person first and have grace when the meetups are not particularly comfortable or enjoyable. In these situations, our Christian values hopefully teach us to honour those who are not easy to be with. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour." I'm sure I've drained the life out of my friends at some points, settled on topics of conversation that should have been out of bounds, or offended them by a thoughtless comment, forgotten thank you text, or period of silence. Then I hope there are other times when I've been stronger, optimistic, thoughtful, encouraging and fun to be with. It would be a sad thing if every time we met a friend, we weighed up and judged the meeting according to how well it met our needs. Yet the putting yourself first culture seems to be advocating this. Matthew 7:3-5 reminds us, "Why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Someone borrowed. I have found that the best way to navigate all this has not been to cut friendships off completely or keep tabs on who is currently in my inner circle. As I've got older, I've made a conscious effort to hold people lightly. Once we start, as some people do, keeping a list of top five friends, they're going to disappoint us by failing to live up to the criteria we have set for someone honoured to be categorised in that way. This is why I've always shied away from being or having a best friend. The pressure's too much. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." As we go through life, we're going to fail to meet every friendship need. After five failed attempts at IVF and one miscarriage, Emma Barnett, presenter of Radio 4's Woman's Hour, shared this heartbreaking snapshot. She said, "My old friends can't be expected to get it fully. Fertile people cannot comfort infertile people. Not really. This made me sad. I didn't want to believe it at first. But reading it reminded me of our limitations as friends. It made me feel more compassionate towards people who no longer seem to want to be part of my life, and prompted me to make a renewed effort in every situation to direct conversation away from things we do not have in common. We cannot rely on a friend, a parent, a husband, or a child to be everything we need. Maybe in acknowledging our limitations as friends, we can point people to the one who meets our every need. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus." Someone new. Maybe you're moving into a new season of life, starting something new, changing churches, jobs, roles, or routines. With this comes the excitement of new relationships. New friendships are an opportunity to be 100% as you are in the present. There's no history there. There's no pressure to conform to all patterns of behaviour. If it doesn't particularly take off, you don't lose anything. But if it does, you have a new person to grow with. And if you've met through your current job, volunteer role, kids or hobby, then you have an effortless way to meet regularly without the need to trawl through your calendar to discover that your next available meetup is in 2023. I prefer to join my new people on activities they're already doing and get to know each other that way. Face-to-face coffee dates still sort of freak me out and feel a bit too much to ask of people. Letty Cotton Pogrebin says, "We need old friends to help us grow old and new friends to help us stay young." That quote really resonated with me. We need old friends to help us grow old and new friends to help us stay young. Whilst we carefully do every stage of our makeup and try to pull off a fun and trendy look when we meet a new friend, we'll arrive in a fluffy onesie when we indulge in a catch-up with an old friend. Here's to that hot chocolate for the soul person, the old friend you can slob about with. Someone old. Looking back, I can see how changes in circumstance or season of life have led to friendships naturally ebbing and flowing. However, these friendships take off effortlessly again when we finally meet up, whether that's 6 weeks, 6 months, or 6 years later. Nothing bad or hurtful caused the drift, so there's nothing to repair, other than a mutual feeling of sadness that we couldn't maintain a closeness just because of circumstances largely outside our control. The old friend will be the one to tell me to stop analysing all this and just get on with it. And we'll be cheering each other on in the new friendships we are developing. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." Open up the friendship files. Friendship is the fuel that feeds our passion to share God's love in natural ways. Local friendships deepen our love for our local communities and groups and motivate us to take people with us on our faith journeys. For more inspiration, come to our Activate Your Life Weekend Away in March 2023 or look for an event near you. This year's theme at the Weekend Away is Undivided Heart. Click here or go to the website to find out more. Thanks for listening.